What a pleasure it is to be here in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and to be speaking. You know, it's an honor. It's an honor to speak. It's an honor to do service. It's an honor to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I've learned that a long time ago. I just want to say that I have a home group. My home group is the Bohemia Together Gay Group out in Suffolk County. And my sobriety date is July 27th, 1988. I must say that I love the name of your group, but I wish I could say that I never had a legal drink. But I had lots of illegal drinks. And, you know, in the format of the meeting, it was talking about keeping it in the solution. And, you know, as long as I've been sober, I really never know quite what I'm going to say or what I remember when I go speak. I do like to go out and speak, and I get the opportunity and the honor to speak at a lot of different places. And I think one of my biggest honors in AA is when I get to speak for someone's anniversary, especially like a first anniversary. Because I think that, you know, this is where all the action is. And I'm always very excited. I don't ever get really nervous because I do this a lot. And I love to do it, you know. But there's a reason, though, and here comes some stuff because I didn't think about what I was going to say, is, you know, I come here a lot from my thinking. You know, I put the cork in the bottle many years ago, 27 years ago, if you want to do the math. But I need to always remember where I came from because I have this built-in forgetter, you know, that when things can get rough and that reminds me. And this is how I remind myself, by coming up here and talking about some of that insanity. I'm not one a really good speaker with, like, chronological order, you know. I do know how it's laid out in the big book that I'm going to share in a general way what it was like, what happened, and what it was like now. Half the time when I think about anything I'm going to say, and you, a lot of you might experience this too, everything that you want to say or plan on saying never comes out when you come up here and sit, you know? And that's the way it is for me. You know, I'm overly qualified to speak, okay? Meaning that I was very well qualified. And what I mean by that is, overly qualified probably, was because for me it was, there were no lines to cross. You know, I became a blackout drinker very early, and I was also a garbage head, you know, and it was all about more. You know, alcohol is a drug is a drug. It didn't matter what it was. It was escaping myself, and once I started, you know, but I always like to tell people, especially when it's at an open meeting or a closed meeting, that we really try, and what I heard when I first came in, is to try to identify and not to compare. I drank this, you drank that, you smoked this, you shot that. It's all about the feelings, you know. It's really all about the feelings, and we try to identify with that and not compare, especially when we're new. Because, you know, oh, I didn't do that. Or maybe I wasn't that bad, you know. All I can say is if you're new and you're not sure or whatever, and if this is for you, I'll tell you some key things that I learned. Just keep coming. Just, you know, fake it till you make it. And if you don't get this program, watch out. It might get you, you know. And it's very true. You know, I sit up here today very blessed and fortunate with my life and where I am today. You know, what it was like for me, I got drunk, I fell down, you know. Should I say more than that, you know, with my experience, you know. Booze was my thing in the beginning, but a lot of stuff for me started before I even picked up my first drink. You know, I always try to tell the story of even before I picked up drinking, I didn't feel like I fit in. I wasn't uncomfortable with life. I got picked on. I grew up, I was born in the 60s, and I grew up with dyslexia. So my self-esteem was like really shot right away. But I remember something that I could really compare that sometimes I talk about when I speak was, I was like 8 years old. I ate a whole 1 pound bag of M&Ms. I mean, who doesn't like M&Ms, right? Or especially now after you get sober, chocolate. Good luck with that, you know? Right? Well, I ate the whole bag, and you know what happened? I got really sick, and I got a really bad tummy ache. And I said something that was going to live on for a long time until I would find the rooms of AA. I said, I'll never do that again. Now, it was only M&Ms. And my life was starting to become unmanageable. You know? Whoever thought that my life would become unmanageable because of a 1 pound bag of M&Ms? Well, I had no idea, but then I put off drinking as long as I could. All right? I already felt like I didn't fit in. I didn't like who I was. I despised myself. And one of the teachers right in front of me in like fourth grade had told my parents I was mentally retarded. And I heard that. So that already had an impact on me. I believe I was born with this disease, though. Like I said, I put off drinking as long as I could. And how long was that? Till I was 12. That's as long as I could put up with it, you know? It's as long as I could do life without having something in my body. You know, it was like I could not do life. And then it was just a matter of having Schlitz, which is probably the worst beer out there. I don't even know if it's still around today. I don't even care if it's still around today. But I had 3 beers. And just that 1 or 2 beers going into my system, there was a transformation that took place. All of a sudden, I wasn't the weird kid. I wasn't afraid. All of a sudden, you know, I loosened up a little bit. Maybe I even became a little cooler than the rest of the kids, you know? And I was like, you know, this is all right. I like this feeling I'm getting with this. Now, meanwhile, my friend that had the other 3 was throwing up. And I was like, come on. Get with it. Now, did it taste good or anything else like that? No. We all know how beer tastes, alcohol tastes the first time we have it. It tastes disgusting. It's a learned experience to start to like it, you know? And I sure learned to like it, you know? And my drinking took off right from then. And I was off to the races. I became a blackout drinker right away. I tried to do a lot of things in life, but drinking, you know, I became what I love to say was a weekend alcoholic. You know, I started drinking on the weekends, going to concerts, going out. Drugs were huge, you know. Later on, I just have one thing with cocaine was it almost took me. Cocaine was that one drug I'd end up, you know, with 8-ball by myself. It wasn't a social drug for me. I wanted to be by myself. I'd be in a hotel room by myself saying, okay, this gram's for Friday. This is for Saturday. This is for Sunday. All right? And then by the time I was done with half of the first gram, all right, you start to get this thing going. And the music you had on, you're turning it down to where you almost can't hear any music anymore, okay? Oh, people are identifying. I like when I see people identifying. That means maybe, hey, you were there too. And you have beer that you're drinking, and by this time I have chairs up against the door. The FBI, CIA, and everyone after this point is already after me, but this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want my heart to go 280 beats per minute, and I want to be like this, and then into the next night, I'm going to be racing and wondering where the rest of it is and looking in the hotel room where I lost it. That's all I'm going to tell you about with cocaine. It's just one little story, you know? But booze was the thing that was going to be continue, that even after I stopped that, was going to be a daily thing. And I was going to stop growing up. I stopped maturing. And I would just go on. And I eventually, I had a lot of things. I'm not going to get into any big drunkalog, but what I forgot to mention that I usually say when I first come up is I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here, okay? I was blessed to get the gift of sobriety, like everyone in this room. And if you don't think it's a gift, just keep coming, but it's a gift because I should not have survived the stuff that happened to me, the places I went, the accidents I had, and I have a lot of yets, you know. You know, I never killed anybody yet in my vehicle. But how lucky was I after all the times and how many times I got into my car and drove so drunk and never knew and got up and looked to see if the car was even still there in total blackouts. And how many times I was driving, and I don't know if this ever happened to any of you, but curbs used to jump up at my car, you know, and I'd go over the curb. I don't know if you ever experienced that. And once my license was taken away, bushes, I used to have fights with bushes, you know. I'd get into the bushes and I'd be like rolling all around in the bushes and everything. And when New York State took my license away, and I'll tell anyone now, is don't ever drink and like ride your bike. You can get to the destination you want on your bike, but by the time you're drinking, if you drink like me, using the bike after that's not going to happen. I would go to get on it, I'd ride 5 feet, fall down, get back up, ride another 5 feet. So eventually I quit riding my bike. But obviously, you know, drinking brought me to my knees, you know, and I like to laugh. I think keeping a sense of humor with this stuff and the stuff that happened from the past is good. And I can do that now. But one time I was cooking in my house, and I don't want to get into the whole story, is that I was cooking something in the oven, and it was in there all night. And the moral of that story was, forget about me. Forget about the damage or what I did to me. Was this one night, I had a pot pie in the oven for 6 hours, and my dad came to wake me up. Now, I could have killed my whole family. Forget about me. I already wanted to die almost so minutes into this. But the people I could have taken down, and people around me always knew. They always knew what was going on and what was wrong. You know, God bless my mother. She would plead me not to go out. Please don't go out again tonight. And I'd be like, I got it under control. I got it. You know? And her eyes. I don't ever want to forget my mother's eyes, you know. I finally hit bottom. And I like to say, after this DWI I got, and I didn't should have had about 3,000 DWIs, but I finally got arrested, and I was kind of pissed. You know, I actually got something, too. I try not to use profanity, but then somebody said, I got a thing that you guys don't mind if you curse, so I'll go with it. I got a DWI, and it wasn't even as bad as any of the other ones should have been. I just went over the line a little bit, and I was, like, pissed. You know, I was pissed. And they asked that usual question, how much did you drink? And we all know what the answer is when we're asked how much we drank. It's a couple. It's just a couple, you know? And usually when I answered it's a couple, it would be like, it's just a couple, you know? And my motor skills and my verbal skills were usually, sometimes it'd be like, just a couple. Or my mother would be like, you're drinking again and you're drunk. I am not drunk. Now, the trick to the story was, I always knew that she knew I was lying. I knew that she knew I was lying, but we could never tell the truth. If I was ever to tell the truth about everything, like I do here in AA, everything, the drugs, the drinking, how much, they're going to lock me up. What I stole, you know, what I used to do to get a drink. I finally got mandated in treatment. I always like to mention that. I didn't even think I realized. I knew I had probably drinking was a problem. The marijuana... Marijuana's okay, I can control that. And but everyone was telling me the next step, I was heading to the street, my parents were about to kick me out, and we still got the same price, what was going to be my income then, I knew was coming, 5 cents per can, all right? I knew that was going to be my income, you know? And I went into treatment. That's what happened. You know, what it was like, what happened, I went into treatment. And I found the solution, but I didn't find anything. See, I can't take credit that I found, or I found the solution. You guys came into the rehab and basically told me what the solution was in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And also, before I went in, I have to talk about my feelings before I went in. I was a turd, a human turd, piece of shit, who just wanted to die. My father called me a human leech living a mindless existence. Perfect. I hated it when he said it then, but as I look back now, that's exactly what I was. I stopped showering. I stopped brushing my teeth. I stopped taking care of myself. I couldn't hold a job. I was unemployable. I would get up and I would just drink, you know? And if my mother only had $20 hidden in her eyeglass case, I would get all excited when I would see it, because I'd be like, I know I'm getting what I want from this poor lady who had so much love. You know, I didn't care. I only cared about me, you know. I only cared about me. And if it was going to hurt you or anyone else, I would do whatever I had to do, you know. Whenever I think of my mother, God rest her, I always get a little, you know, because what an amazing woman, you know, amazing woman. I was very fortunate. So I went in, I found the solution, you know. But I knew I had to be honest, you know, because I had my stuff, right? Like you have stuff, right? You have stuff. We all have stuff we don't like to talk about. And part of the solution in the steps is cleaning house, talking about everything, you know. And I had some stuff I needed to touch on, but I didn't want to touch on it too much. You know when you want to talk about stuff, but you don't really, you're just going to share it, but you don't want any feedback, God forbid, from your sponsor. You just want to tell them, but please keep your mouth shut. I don't need any unsolicited advice. Well, if you have a really good sponsor, and a really good sponsor, you know how you tell if you have a really good sponsor is if he tells you what you don't like to hear. You know, I come from the old school of AA. And what happened was, though, during that gap of time period, I think I'm doing good here. What happened was, as I was going, oh, very good. Oh, boy, let me start at the beginning again. 8 minutes.
Sorry.
All right. I was born in 62. I got 10 minutes. Good. All right, let's start at the beginning again. Let's talk about the Kit Kats. You know, I had found and I jumped into this right away. It was just about listening. My sponsor, whatever he would have told me to do in the beginning, I got to a group. It was getting active right away and making coffee. He put me at the door right away and he told me, everyone you see that you don't know in a meeting, I want you to go up to them and introduce yourself. And that's because I was really scared of people. And I was really nervous, and I didn't realize half the things. And then he told me to go out and dance. I'd be like, what's this have to do with getting sober? You know, I'm 26 years old. Go out and dance. What's that got to do? And I realized that when I went to, back then we had sober clubs. We had one in Forest Hills. We had a couple out on the island. We had all these huge sober clubs that you could go to on the weekends. They're not around anymore. And then they had young people that was kind of like just starting, you know, like young people. Yeah, there's a lot of young people here. And that was just starting in Nassau County. And, you know, and I went and everybody would be dancing and group anniversaries. And it would be like this after I was like 6 months sober. You know, I was stiff as a board. What he was doing was, as I got out there and I danced after a little while, was because it was teaching me how to enjoy myself in sobriety better than I ever did before. Going out and doing things that I was used to only being able to do under the influence of alcohol and drugs. You know, and then we'd go out to different meetings. We'd all jump in cars and we'd go speak at different meetings, different service, and all kinds of stuff, you know. And I stayed sober, you know. And, you know, life things happened. You know, that wonderful mother that I had, you know, that was one of the things that feared me, that I thought I would drink again. You know, my mother died in 2000, you know, but I took my 10-year coin and I put it in her hand. Because she was so proud of my sobriety, you know, and that was a gift, you know. And I celebrated 365 days back to back when I didn't even think I could get 6 months, you know. And people would ask me to, like, do things in AA, you know. And I would look in the mirror and we'd say, we'd love you until you can love yourself. And I'd be, like, starting to do that. And people gave me hugs, and I was stiff like this, you know. But they'd say, we love you, you know, and we're going to love you until you can love yourself. And I'd look in the mirror and start to like who I saw in the mirror, you know. But I didn't always 100% like it. And more recent, which the part that I've been like sharing about a lot more that I haven't in all my years in AA, I've only recently in the last couple of years, was after I had 10 years of sobriety, I had some stuff that I didn't want to ever deal with. I wasn't going to ever tell anybody. Good, I should be able to do it in that 5 minutes. And what it was, you know, I had a good job. I was in a good relationship. I had all these other great things going for me that weren't guaranteed, but I had this one other thing missing that I had to deal with, and it was my gender issues. I had to talk about something that I was hiding for years, and I didn't want to talk about it, but I hit a bottom. And because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I had the courage to start to do something about it and get some help. And it led me to a place here at the center in New York City. 15 years ago, I went through a gender transition, you know. And now you see this beautiful Jennifer sitting up here tonight, you know. And it wasn't easy, but how did I get through that? Because of the solution, because of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And now I'm like involved in this area in AA, helping people that are struggling with it. You know, I always like to say, oh, I pulled a Caitlyn Jenner. Well, I was around before and out before Caitlyn Jenner. But it's an important part of my story when I talk about people and your stuff. It could have taken me back out. It was important for me to come clean. It was important for me to be able to be comfortable and walk into any AA meeting I want to now. If I decide I want to talk about it, I'll talk about it. You know, and now I love who I see in the mirror, 100%. What a gift that is. And I don't care what your stuff is. I wouldn't wish my stuff personally on any of you. Trust me. You know, I wouldn't wish this trip on anybody. But what I will tell you is that we're told that, you know, we have to change the person that we do when we come in the rooms, you know. But just don't take it as literally as I did. You know? You don't have to totally change, you know. I had to say that because the crowd was getting a little, you know. But once again, you know, I do want to tell you, and because it is, you know, my life hasn't been easy, but all of our lives aren't easy. What is the solution? The solution's in the steps and in the big book. You know, the program is pretty easy. Life is hard. That's my life stuff. You guys all have life stuff. We all have life stuff that's hard. But the program helps us. When you call up your sponsor or talk to somebody else, I'm sure they'll give you a solution that's in the big book and a page you can go to. 417 is a big one for me, you know. And this is what I like to do. After 27 years, what, I traveled 2 hours to come here from Long Island, you know, on a Thursday night, you know, on Friday nights. Well, I have to tell you the truth. I love doing it, you know. I love to talk. I got the gift of gab. But it's a gift, you know, because guaranteed when you get up here and do this, it's the same as when you're out there and sharing, you'll feel better about yourself. And if you're thinking about drinking, you grab somebody with you, you know, and you don't have to pick up a drink today for the 24-hour plan, you know. And no matter what happens, you don't have to pick up a drink, you know. And now that you know all about me, you know, now you can know why I say it's such a gift. It's been a wonderful journey. Today I'm married. I have a beautiful wife. We have a nice little home. I lost everything in the beginning, but I didn't pick up a drink. And I never gave up hope. Because hope in Alcoholics Anonymous has given me hope and faith.
We good?
Good, yeah.
All right, we're good then. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.